The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please be seated? Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service. Welcome to those of you here in church, especially those visiting us today. Welcome also to those joining us live via the internet and those who will connect later. There are just a couple of announcements. Our prayer meeting over Zoom will not take place this week, and services next Sunday are at the usual times, morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. In our service today, we'll be thinking about the importance of slowing down and of taking a real rest and how we can achieve that in God. And it's to that God that we offer our worship in the words of our opening hymn, "Sing to God New Songs of Worship." Service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve You in newness of life to the glory of Your name. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to Your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm appointed for this morning's service is Psalm 34, verses 9 to 14. In these verses, the psalmist calls on all those who worship God to reverence and respect him. We stand together to read verses 9 to 14 of Psalm 34. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, all you his holy ones. For those who fear him lack nothing. Lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is there who delights in life and longs for days to enjoy good things? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated for our Old Testament reading. Our Old Testament lesson is written in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. He has set the right time for everything. Here ends our Old Testament reading. Our next hymn expresses a deep longing for God and finds its expression in Psalm 42. We sing, "As pants the heart for cooling streams."
Thank you.
Please be seated for our New Testament reading. The New Testament lesson is written in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at the 15th verse. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends our New Testament reading. And in response to our reading, we stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power, most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next song is a call for us to tune out everything and focus on the Lord. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Thank you.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Christ's sake. Amen. I recently came across an article on the internet about a real problem that is afflicting most people in the 21st century. It's called hurry sickness. In actual fact, hurry sickness was first diagnosed in the late 1950s, but it has now reached epidemic proportions. You'll find a definition of it in the dictionary. The definition of it says, a modern malady caused by rushing about, a compulsion to do everything quickly, or a chronic feeling of being short of time, attributed to the fast pace of modern life and causing symptoms such as anxiety and insomnia. So what are the symptoms of hurry sickness? Well, here are just a few. And I must confess, I see so much of myself in these. We are constantly checking our watches and saying, oh, just look at the time, I'm going to be late. We hate waiting. At the post office, for example, we sigh impatiently as a customer ahead of us is taking forever. At the supermarket, if we have a choice between checkouts, we note the number of people in each queue and join the shortest one. If we are still waiting to be served and the people in the other queues get away before we do, we feel annoyed. Evidence of hurry sickness can be seen on a plane too. As soon as the seatbelt sign is turned off, what do people do? They stand, get their hand luggage, and crowd into the aisle, all the time knowing full well that it will be at least another 10 minutes before they can start moving toward the exit. In another article I read, the writer describes hurry sickness as a whole range of behavior that betrays our desperate need to save time and our fury when it is being wasted. He asks, how many of us repeatedly push the door close button in lifts, even though we know only one push is required? And the writer continues saying, we're trying to do in one day what used to take three people a week to complete. And as for publishers, well, they've had a field day as well, with books like How to Have a 48-Hour Day, or one-minute bedtime stories for busy parents to read to their children. My, how time flies, we say. But of course, time doesn't really fly. The clock ticks away at the same speed every day, day in and day out. The days of the week, the months, the years pass by at the same speed as they have since the dawn of time. We keep blaming the time for our need to rush about. But the fault doesn't lie with time itself. We do have the time. God gives us all the time that we need to do everything that is important. Time is a gift from God. He gives us time to enjoy ourselves. He gives us time to work, to worship, to pray. He gives us time to spend with our families, time to serve and help others. And he gives us time to witness to others about Jesus before time runs out. As the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time for everything, and there is time for everything. God gives us adequate time to do everything that is important. God didn't make a mistake at creation by making the days too short. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're told that God has prepared in advance good works for us to do. And you can be sure that he has also provided the time we need to do them. So when we haven't got time for the important things, then the fact is that we haven't managed very well the time God has given us. In this morning's reading, Paul gives advice to his Ephesian readers. He knows well that there are so many attractions and people in the world that will take control of our lives and lead us to misusing the time God has given us. He writes, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have, because these are evil days." Now, that phrase, making the most of every opportunity, is actually language borrowed from the marketplace. It literally means snapping up all the bargains that are available. And here, Paul refers in part to the management of time as God's priceless commodity. He is urging us to snap up the entire bargain God is offering and to invest our energies in activities that are worthwhile. And the person who is able to do this, Paul calls wise. To be wise is to know God and to steer away from all that displeases him. The wise person in this case is the one who makes the most of every opportunity. Paul then adds to this the phrase, because the days are evil. Even back in Paul's time when life would appear to be less complicated, the apostle knew that there were many things that enticed people to use their time unwisely. We are to use our time to carry out God's will for us in our lives. But it's bad management of our time when we don't have time to spend with God in prayer and read his word. It is bad management of our time when we don't have time to worship or come to Holy Communion. We're all familiar with the saying, life is short. Paul would agree that the time God has given to us is a precious gift and not to be wasted doing things that are harmful to ourselves, to our families, to our friends, in fact, to anyone. And who knows, except God, how much time we have? James says, "Now listen to me, you that say, today or tomorrow we will travel to a certain city where we will stay a year and go into business and make a lot of money. You don't even know what your life tomorrow will be. You're like a puff of smoke which appears for a moment and then disappears." James is saying that we shouldn't presume that we would have a tomorrow to do the good we had intended to do today. And Paul tells us to snap up every moment we have and make the most of it. Use the time we have in the present to do the things God wants us to do. How many times have we looked back and seen the missed opportunities that were waiting to be taken? I'm guilty of this, as I dare say everyone here is. But then that's why God sent us a Savior. That's why Jesus died on the cross. All of our misspent hours, all of the hurt we have caused others because we have been too busy, all the harm we have done to ourselves, to our health, because we have failed to slow down, all the times we have given other things priority over spending time with God and doing the work Jesus has given us to do in the church and in our personal lives, all these were nailed with Jesus onto the cross. Thankfully, Jesus is the great healer of our hurry sickness. And I'm going to finish with what he says to us in Matthew chapter 11, words to take with us into the coming week. And I'm quoting from the Message version. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let us pray. Lord God, we confess that so much frustration and conflict comes from our impetuosity and impatience. Help us to live at your pace. Slow us down. May our lives achieve the rhythm of your pulse, beating with strength and security and steadiness, and the spiritual health and wholeness which you desire for your children. Help us to be so conscious of your presence with us now that we abandon the hurry towards the future. Teach us the many benefits of contentment. And teach us also, Lord God, to create space in our busy lives for you, to make a few moments every day in which we can be quiet and still. Help us to recognize that when we give you your proper place, everything else will fit into place as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we bring before you the world in which we live. As we do so, we pray in particular for those whose lives and homes have been darkened by disaster and tragedy in recent days, especially as a result of flooding, wildfires, and gun attack. We pray for those who stand bewildered and fearful in the midst of tragedy, for the injured, the bereaved, and the destitute. We commend to your grace all who are seeking to help and heal the injured and to comfort and calm the bereaved. From you alone can come the word that will lift them above their darkness. We pray too for the worsening situation in Afghanistan as we hear this morning that the Taliban now have control of Kabul. We pray for the tens of thousands of people attempting to escape the fighting. People living in fear of what a return to Taliban control might mean in their districts and cities. We pray, Lord, for hope, for justice, and for healing in Afghanistan. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we are mindful as we come to you in this time of worship, not only of our own needs, but also of the needs of those known to us, friends and members of our families. Relieve and heal the sick. Console the sorrowing and the lonely. Guide the anxious and perplexed. Have in your keeping those who face danger this day, and be near to all whom we love. And in a moment of quietness, we bring our own prayer to you. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. And we join our prayers together in the words our Savior Christ has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn reminds us that God was not in the earthquake, wind, or fire, but in the still small voice of calm. We stand to sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
As always, it has been good to worship together this morning. Let us bow our heads now for God's blessing. May God sustain us in all our works and in all our ways. Make us humble, just, and true. Strengthen us in holiness and righteousness, and fill our homes with love and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. And so to our closing hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say,